America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Our Northeast correspondents are Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, the co-hosts of the RV Family Travel Atlas and Campground of the Week podcasts, and the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. It's good to be back with another episode with a campground review from our fabulous, fantastic road trip summer 2016 part two.
We've been on the road so long, Stephanie's incoherent.
I can't even talk straight about
our road trip. And you know, we'll have our correspondents back at some point.
We just had a couple
They're on their summer vacations as well.
Yeah, well, we brought in Carrie, we brought in Brett, you know, they told us what they had been doing over the course of the summer, but now we're back on, like I said, part two, and it's great. So last time we talked about the Lazy River Jellystone in Gardner, New York. This time, where are we going, Jeremy?
We're talking about Holiday Park Campground in Traverse City, Michigan. We're on our big Midwest road trip, and Holiday Park Campground scores big points in the RVFTA world, doesn't it?
It was pretty amazing. But before we tell you why we thought it was so amazing, we want to thank our sponsor, Progressive Insurance, because when you sign up for an RV policy, you can also sign up for total loss replacement, which is optional protection that replaces your new RV with a current model if it's declared a total loss in the first 2 years. Get a quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
Sometimes I want to lose this RV. Get
Don't
a new one.
Say that. This RV. You can't say that. Things like that are like a curse because we have had such tremendous luck.
This RV's been awesome, but a lot of our listeners think that we're out here in the Midwest scoping out new RVs. It's really an elaborate shopping trip, as it were.
Yeah, well,
maybe they have us figured out, maybe they don't.
We'll sort of unwrap that package later on in other episodes.
Yeah, we've got a lot of content we've been creating here on this Midwest road trip. On the regular RV Family Travel Atlas podcast this week, we're going to be talking about RV country and the RV Hall of Fame. But let's get focused.
Okay.
On Traverse City, Michigan, and the Holiday Park Campground. So how would you describe the geographical location of Holiday Park Campground?
All right. So anybody that has ever spent time in Michigan knows that when you're talking about Michigan, you present your hand and you say...
The mitten.
Right. You say, picture this hand, right? So just like if you're from New Jersey, people ask you what exit you are off the parkway.
And then you get slapped.
Yeah.
But I think the mitten is more of an endearing thing in Michigan.
It is, right? So people present their hand, their right hand, and you put that up, and then people show you where they are on the hand, because Michigan is sort of shaped like that, okay? So, you know, if you're not used to that, what we're going to say is, if you imagine sort of the Ohio and Indiana border along the bottom, we were in Indiana in Elkhart County, right below the border of Michigan, sort of in central Michigan.
The campground there was like 2 miles from the Michigan border.
I think 7, to be exact.
2-7.
But what we actually did was we shot straight up about 3.5 hours, okay, up to the
Except we stopped
top.
At an RV dealership and looked at some RVs.
No, just fanning the flames of the conspiracy theories. All right, we shot up to the top, okay, where Traverse City is against the shoreline of Lake Michigan, okay? It's actually rests on the the Grand Traverse Bay, okay?
Which so pretty far up north in Michigan and on Lake Michigan. And it is a beautiful section of a beautiful state.
Yeah. And so we were straight up about 3.5 hours from that Indiana border, okay? And then also, it's only about 30 minutes away, 30 minutes, I should say, east from Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. Okay, so this is sort of the prime urban sort of area settling around this lakeshore area.
Yeah, and we're going to handle Sleeping Bear Dunes on a separate episode. It's going to deserve its own episode of RVFTA, but it's a pretty tremendous 1-2 punch to get a city as hip and cool and fun and outdoorsy as Traverse City, and then have a major national park site half an hour away. So to me, this is RV heaven up here.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, I think that it is in general destination heaven. I mean, when you picture Traverse City, I want you to picture those like summer playground. I want you to picture the Adirondacks, right? Like those places that are those storied summer destinations for people. And that is the case. If you live in Michigan, Traverse City, the lakes, those are the places that people flee to, right? In the summer. The summers can get very hot, very humid in this area. We know that. We've spent some time in Michigan in the past. I went to college here. You know, we have our history with Michigan. Well, people, you know, flee out to these lakes and live in this like blissful state for months out of the year.
And I think the good people of Traverse City would like us to point out that it is a solid year-round city for great urban living.
Yeah, and they really do stress the outdoor lifestyle that is year-round in this area.
When we pulled in and parked in Traverse City on the first day, we hopped out of the car and we were next to the river. I want to say it's the Broadman River, but I think I'm getting the name wrong. We looked out over the river and someone was kayaking. So you can go kayaking right through the middle of town, and someone was scuba diving. And he was doing a little scuba diving, and he popped up and swam over to his girlfriend, who was sort of reading a book on the banks of the river.
I burst out laughing. We had like paid to park at one of the meters because we were in downtown Traverse City, right on East Front Street. So this is like downtown, downtown. And we had gotten out, we had paid to park at the meter, and we're standing there waiting to go. And we see like the little scuba diver come inching down.
He wasn't little. He was a full-sized adult scuba diver. And his girlfriend was just acting like this was the most normal thing in the world, to be reading a book on the banks of the river in Traverse City. And up pops your scuba diving boyfriend, who maybe was searching for treasure for her.
It's a quirky crowd around here.
I think you would have found that romantic back in the day.
I don't know about that. I burst out laughing.
And the kayak guy just went right by. Like, it didn't, you know, faze him that there was somebody scuba diving. He's like, oh, it's that guy again.
That cracked us up. And the boys kept saying, because I cracked up. I couldn't help myself. I was laughing. I had the case of the giggles. So, and the boys kept saying, is that weird, mommy? Weird. And I was like, well, I've never seen it before.
Now we've gone ahead and dived right into Traverse City without talking about the campground. So the campground is, I'd say, about a 10-minute drive away from downtown. It's really close, and it's an easy, mellow drive to get out to the campground. Now, there is a nice state park right in town as another option, and we recommend that as well. But the Holiday Park campground is really the full-service option nearby.
Well, it's special because it's on Silver Lake, okay? So it really does. So Silver Lake is sort of this retreat for many people who actually maybe live in Traverse City or in like some of these other areas nearby. Like Silver Lake feels like this sort of seasonal retreat area for people that may be in a more urban area. So yes, you can stay in the state park in Traverse City and be right in the heart of all the action. Or you could stay at Holiday Park Campground and be sort of like in this quiet, bucolic, like romantic setting, and then jet into the city in 15 minutes.
Nothing beats a campground on a lake. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe a campground on the ocean, but there's so few of those. I mean, a campground right on a lake is really special. And this lake was beautiful. The water was crystal clear, and it was warm and nice for swimming and kayaking.
Yeah.
So what type of campground are we talking about?
So this is obviously a private campground. It's a Good Sam campground, so we did get our Good Sam discount because we have that membership. Now, It has a little bit of an interesting backstory.
And you're looking at me to tell that story because I did a little investigating.
Go ahead.
So this used to be an Airstream-only campground. And let me clarify. It was Airstream-only if you wanted to be a member and have a seasonal site. Now, they have always had sites that they rent out to anybody who wants to come in and use it. Now, the campground is actually owned by the seasonals, by the members. So I've never confronted anything like this. This is a unique campground in RVFTA history.
It's like a co-op in the city.
Like, I thought you were going to say it was like a cult.
No, a co-op. We live outside of New York City, and there's tons of co-op buildings in New York City, which is where people, you know, the actual different apartments together own the building. So it's exactly like that.
Right. Now, about 5 years ago, now someone told me 5 years, someone told me 10 years, yeah. And someone told me 22 years ago.
Right.
There's some confusion about this, but I think the manager told me 5 years ago, they lifted that Airstream-only rule because what happened was when the slide-out was invented, a lot of the members wanted to get really luxurious fifth wheels for their seasonal sites to have more room for the family and more floor space, and they still wanted to stay at the campground. So what a lot of them did was they'd buy an old junker Airstream to get the title for the Airstream. That title would allow them to keep their seasonal site. So eventually they all just realized, hey, there's a little bit of a game being played here, and they dumped that. Now, you do not have to have an Airstream anymore to be a seasonal at Holiday Park, but I would say about 30 to 40% of the RVs there were Airstreams.
And there's a lot of, Airstreams everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were like 10, 20, 30 years old.
And the funny thing is, I'm not a snot. Right?
Like, well,
I'm not. So I don't tend to, you know, I tend to not be exclusive. So like the idea of an Airstreamers park is like, really? You only want people to stay there with RVs like yours? Like that tends to get me in a little bit of a ruffle, right? But then when you're there and you see all the Airstreams.
It's beautiful. When you see the Airstreams stacked on top of each other, you're like, oh my gosh, this is like a special, beautiful place.
Right? Don't you get it?
It makes the whole camp, it gives an aesthetic to the entire campground.
Yeah. Yeah. So it really was cool that so many of the sites did have Airstreams and it made it really stand out. And it was something
special. It makes me wonder too if at some point in the history, you know, an Airstream's expensive. And I imagine they've always been expensive. So saying you need to have an Airstream to have a seasonal keeps the riffraff out. It probably has kept the riffraff out for years.
Right. So then let's look that one right in the eye there. Okay. So there's these seasonal spaces. Okay. And they are all around Silver Lake. There's these little loops, okay, that line the area around Silver Lake. And then there's this little peninsula that juts out, okay, that has all these spots that go out into Silver Lake too, okay? So there is a small part of the campground. I would say 25%, maybe 20% of these sites that are actually lakefront on Silver Lake. And those are all seasonal sites.
And then, and a lot of them have boats and jet skis and sailboats and SUPs and decks. I mean, these are gorgeous seasonal sites. They're like lake homes without the home.
It is. It's like having a lake house. So now let's describe how this game is played. What happens is these seasonals can up and leave for any period of time during the summer, right? Just like if you had rented a seasonal, you could say, oh, but I'm, you know, traveling to this place or that place. And you could move your trailer for that period of time and rent your site out to somebody else, okay? So this here is the game that's played. In order to get one of these campsites that is right on the lake and that is beautiful, like the one we had, you have to be on somebody else's seasonal site.
Right. So I booked the site on January 2nd, which is the first day you can book sites here. When I booked the site, I was not lakefront. I was just in some average site, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I say average site, the campground's really nice. I mean, if you're somewhere else, you're in a nice campground on a nice site. But I mean, average in relation to these gorgeous lakefront sites. But I was happy enough. I got a reservation at the campground I wanted. Now, at a certain point, I got bumped up onto the lakefront site because they literally go back and they look chronologically at the reservations. They go back to the earliest reservations and they move you out to the lakefront sites as they become available. Now, a lot of the seasonals are not moving. They're not budging. And their sites,
why would you?
Well, and their sites are so elaborate with decks and boats and docks that they're not renting their site out. They have too much of their property and stuff there. But enough people do that I think that if you book early, you have a solid but not guaranteed chance of getting bumped up to one of these lovely sites.
Right. And so the other section of the campground is really a little bit away from the lake, and you sort of, as opposed to going straight when you go into the campground, you kind of go off to your left. And it is your typical, like, rows and rows of pull-throughs at the campground.
It's almost like a second campground.
It does.
Really.
It feels like two completely different campgrounds.
Connected by a cool bike trail, though, to do a little off-roading, which we discovered on the last day, which was fun.
And the boys love to bike around this campground. I mean, so we were over there in that section, and in fact, there are all these little itty-bitty playgrounds dispersed throughout the campground, and on one bike ride, like, Wesley spotted a little one that he deemed, like, worthy of his time and attention, and I had to actually bring him back there after the bike ride to play at that
camp. This section to the left, I mean, Stephanie's pointing out, it's like a very different this part of the campground. Now, if you could only get a reservation over there, I'd say you're fine. It's going to be perfectly nice, but here's the secret. Don't get too close to the road. Mm-hmm. So there is a highway along the outskirts of the campground. Now, where we
were. Highway 31.
Yeah, and it's a busy highway. Mm-hmm. Where we were, you couldn't see it, you couldn't hear it, you couldn't smell it, nothing. Right? But if you don't get a lakefront site and you're in one of these other sections, just make sure you're not bumped up right close to that road because it is loud. So even in this section that Stephanie's talking about off to the left, if you were at the rear of that, you'd have a pretty nice quiet site and you could walk through that bike path or ride your bikes right down to the lake or whatever. But it's a little bit of a walk to get down to the nice part of the lake and the swimming beach.
Right. So if you're looking at a campground map, what they have in yellow, that's the area that we're talking about. That's sort of like a very different experience than what we had when we were there. You definitely want to be further away from the highway if you're in that yellow section. The section that's in black is like the wooded section. And that's like this like peaceful, very like...
There are these little loopy loops. There's like four loops or so, and there's just these cute little cozy loops. Again, you could be kind of close to the highway in some of those loops, so try to get to the rear of those loops.
Yeah, and then we were in the lake section, which, like, how lucky were we?
Well, the major thing that was awesome was that we could launch our kayak from our site, kayak over to the swimming beach, and hop off and go swimming.
Yeah. It was amazing. Like, there's a little beach over there. There's a sand beach. It has a dock out there that you can, like, swim to. We could kayak to that. We also fished right off the dock there. The boys caught lots of fish because that's all they want to do these days.
Right. And they have their personal assistant, Dad, who just puts worms on hooks over and over and over again.
And unhooks fish.
Though Max and Theo both grabbed their own sunnies and held on to them and got the hooks out. So we're working on that because I don't want to do it anymore.
Now, I think that the, you know, prime place to be in this campground, if you can get it, is definitely the blue sites, which are the island sites, which is like this little loop, this little island that goes off into the lake. And those sites were amazing. They were like, instead of back-ends, they were pull-offs, right? So they're those pull-off type of sites. You pull your RV in there and you're just facing out into the lake straight out. And it's pretty amazing.
So how much does it cost to camp at the Holiday Park campground,
all
Stephanie?
Right. In season, you're between $51 and $61, okay? The $51 is kind of over at that ridge area, and then the $61 is over at the premium sites where we were.
I would call that a very fair price.
Yeah.
If not a bargain price.
Bargain.
For such a nice private campground on such a beautiful lake near such an incredible American city.
I think it's a steal because I think this is that kind of campground where if you have one of those sites that's off on the lake, you feel like this is, it's just magical.
It's RV magic.
It is RV
magic. It was
RV magic.
I mean, it was just a special, special spot for us. I'm scheming to get back next summer. We'll see how that pans out. But it was immediately
always.
Like, No, it's not. It's not every single campground where I say I want back here next summer. This was really like, I want to get back here. I had so much fun kayaking on the lake. There's no pool, which who cares? Because there's a gorgeous swimming lake, crystal clear water, perfect temperature in the summer, not very crowded. Just so many lovely things about this campground.
Yeah, and in terms of, you know, you said there's not amenities. Like there's not an amenity like a pool, right? And yes, there isn't. Like a lot of those splashy things. But what we found is that if our boys have access to waterfront, nothing else
if you're
matters.
On a beautiful lake, who cares about a playground or a pool? And look, Holiday Park has a lot of those things. They don't have a pool, but they pretty much have everything else. It's just not world class because you're on this gorgeous lake and that's what everyone's there to experience.
It's not the point. They did have very nice bathhouses.
With magazine. I'm so glad you just mentioned that. I didn't go into the bathroom till the last day because we were like buttoning up the RV or whatever. And they had like a bookshelf in the men's room.
Okay, there's
filled
not
with
that
books
in the
and magazines. And I just cracked up. I was like, what a little touch. And there were some other really nice touches at this campground that we'll mention in a minute. So it just had this really kind of like you almost felt like you were staying at your uncle's lake place.
It felt like we had a lake house for that period of time that we were there.
Aunt Janine would have loved it.
Right. Like it felt like that. And that's what really sucked me in about this place. Like it felt like your neighbors were other like lake house people. And I did the laundry and the laundry room was very ship shape and clean and nice and everything. Like everything was just
management
solid.
Was really nice. Mm-hmm. It was a husband and a wife and I think even a couple of their kids. Very friendly, very helpful with getting into the city. Top notch management at the campground running a really smooth ship here. I didn't think there were really any organized activities to mention.
No.
I mean, there was a couple like little meetings with donuts for the members and people who were like, yeah, I guess they like they vote about.
Well, yeah, because it's
stuff.
Like a homeowners association. Yeah. So of course, but we wouldn't go to that. We wouldn't be invited to that.
Let's talk site details.
Okay.
Now there's a lot of different types of sites here. Ours was a back in that it wasn't too hard to navigate, but we backed into the lakefront site. And none of the sites struck me as being small or being
No, they weren't. No, they were very easy to get in and out of. The loops are all one way, so it's very easy to navigate that way. You can go in, you can back in very nicely. They have the pea gravel on the sites. The fire pits are very nicely maintained. And also on a lot of the lake sites, you get a fire pit up at your site, and then you also have a fire pit
Great
down
point.
By the water.
Yeah, because it's terraced. So mm-hmm. some of the lakefront sites are terraced. So like we were up on the terrace part, and in the section we were in, we were actually on site number 56. And most of those red sites along the water, it was awesome. They're terraced, and then they have their own private staircase down to like a mini little beach right on the lake. And then you could just launch the kayak right there, and there's that second fire pit. We never used that second fire pit. Right down by the water, but it was there. Our fire pit had the nice water view, and you got that nice breeze off the lake mm-hmm. So our fire pit was really nicely located.
Yeah, it was absolutely magical. I loved it. I really settled in. I think that one of the things that struck me was how quiet it was there.
We got there on a Thursday, and it was really quiet, and we both remarked about how quiet it was. And I think I said, oh, tomorrow everyone will be rolling in here, because it's funny. It's quiet, but every site has an RV in it mm-hmm. because there are all these seasonal sites. But then Friday night rolled around and the people didn't come.
No.
You know, it was busier Sunday than it was Friday night.
There were people there,
enough.
But everybody was quiet except for our kids.
Yeah.
They were having a blast.
Now,
some
insider details.
Okay.
They sell Moomer's ice cream in the camp store. Now,
You're going ahead.
Moomer's. No, I'm not.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Moomer's now and later because they sell Moomer's ice cream in the camp store. And when we come back after the break, we'll talk about the actual Moomer's ice cream. But Moomer's ice cream has been voted best in America by USA Today and like Good Morning America and by Max and Theo and Wes and Jeremy. And?
No, by me too.
And by Stephanie, I thought
so. It
was
pretty phenomenal.
They also give you a free copy of the newspaper every Saturday. And they have the Traverse City newspaper there. It's the Traverse City Record Eagle. I love the fact that they sell the local paper in the camp store. And I think that every camp store should sell a local paper. It just makes you feel like you're in another place and in another culture, in another city. And it connects you to that place in a very old-fashioned way. So I loved buying the paper every day. And then on Saturday when they told me it was free,
You were so excited.
I was so excited. So insider detail, don't miss your free newspaper on Saturday.
Okay. Now, another insider detail is that you need to make reservations at this place on January 2nd, right? I mean, you have to.
You might get lucky doing it later, but you're not going to get bumped up into a lakefront site. It's just there's not that many of them.
No, to get the good site. I really feel like that's what we need to say here. If this sounds like something that you want to do, a place that you want to experience, then you need to book it in your calendar right now to make that reservation.
Yeah, or January 3rd so that I can call on January 2nd.
Yeah, don't bump us out. That's true.
Now, this campground, honestly, it's close to perfect, but we know that nobody's perfect. So what do you think they could improve upon within reason?
People are going to say I'm a caricature of myself, but the traffic going through the road that ran through the campground went a little fast, and it was a 10 mile an hour speed limit. And I really believe that anytime a campground sets a 10 mile an hour speed limit, it sort of sends the wrong message. It sends a message that this is a road as opposed to like a crawlway.
Yeah, that's a good one. And we always say that's easy to fix. Now, you disagreed with me on mine. There are a lot of really small playgrounds, none of which were extremely nice or new or modern. I would love to see like at least one centralized, new, modern, nice, large playground.
Yeah, nobody wants that, hon. No parent out there wants it. What they had was they had these small playgrounds in the middle of the loops. Right. So what could every parent do? Relax at their site while their kid played at that dinky little playground right in the middle. You want that big, large,
great
centralized
for Wes, but not for Max and Thea.
Playground. And then all of a sudden, what does mom and dad do? They have to take them to the playground. And instead of sitting on their site and enjoying the beautiful lakefront view, they're over there at the playground. I don't like it. I love being able to sit at my site. And like the kids can just go over and swing. I think it's great. I was happy with it. I'm fine.
Look, this campground to me is one of the best we've visited in the past few years because this is what it does. It's in an amazing location near a major city, but it doesn't feel like
you
it.
Feel I mean, like a mile
this would
away,
be a great
yeah.
campground if it was out in the middle
a
of
million
nowhere.
Miles away, I should
if
say,
there was
yeah.
no Traverse City nearby and it was just this beautiful campground on Silver Lake, it would still be awesome. But then when you put it next to this really, really terrific, artsy, cultured city, it takes this place over the top. I give it one of my highest reviews, one of my highest rankings.
It was a really special place. And we are also going to come back to tell you all the things that we did in the immediate area around it in Traverse City and also some other areas. So stay tuned and we'll be back in a second.
Fun and family. It's what Jayco has been focused on for generations. From the first camping trailer that rolled off the production line on founder Lloyd Bontrager's farm in 1968 to today, when Jayco, now the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, is building everything from camping trailers up to gas Class A motorhomes.
With a blend of old world Amish craftsmanship and innovative technology, Jayco builds more value into their RVs than any other manufacturer in the industry, with more standard features and the best 2-year warranty offered. Visit Jayco's website at jayco.com or your closest Jayco dealer for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We just gave you a terrific review of the Holiday Park Campground in Traverse City, Michigan. Now we're going to take you back into Traverse City, Michigan, which is really just one of the coolest cities I've ever been to in America, and particularly when it comes to like a medium size. I wouldn't call it a small city, a medium sized city. We had so much fun in the 3 full days that we had in Traverse City. I think we're just going to walk through what we did. And basically, we have to say, we didn't do everything. We didn't try try to do everything, we did what we could do in 3 days.
Yeah, Traverse City is one of those really special places in America that kind of hits all of our sweet spots in terms of having a lot of that craft sort of food, beer, wine, coffee, like all those really interesting micro businesses in the area, people doing those kinds of like startup businesses that we really get very like invested in as travelers. And then also it has a really strong outdoorsy culture. And so we always seem to gravitate towards the places that have a mixture of those two things.
And I really ticked you off on our first morning in Traverse City, didn't I?
Oh, you're
because
gonna go
I told
into that.
Stephanie, I'm not making coffee this morning. We're going into Traverse City to get coffee at a place called Brew. And Brew was the, you know, sort of had the best reviews for a pretentious coffee house.
A good pour over.
I got to tell a funny story about Brew. So we went into Brew. We ordered two coffees. We ordered some snacks for the boys. And Wesley sort of walked over to the juice counter. Or just what would you call it? Like an enclosed, a glass enclosed case that had juices behind it. And he pointed out a juice he wanted. And I said, oh, I'll take one of those, yeah, apple, whatever it was. Didn't really pay much attention. And I didn't pay much attention to the overarching price tag of our order. Because we had like two coffees, a juice, a cinnamon bun, a couple other drinks, stuff like that. So whatever. I just didn't pay attention to the price. So we sat down. The boys slugged that juice.
It was
like
gone.
The three
in a
of them each had like a big gulp of that juice.
Gone.
We had the cinnamon bun. You and I both loved our coffee. We got Sumatra. And then Wesley said, Dad, I want another juice. I'm still thirsty. I want another juice. So I was like, okay, let's go back and get another juice because the three boys pounded it. So we go over and he picks out a juice that he wants. He points to it and the girl goes behind the glass case. She pulls out the juice. She rings me up and she says, that'll be
$8. $8 juice.
And I almost dropped to the floor in a puddle of organic juice. This was like
whole, cold pressed. It was cold.
This was like cold pressed whole juice with like cinnamon and clove and like
organic love in it. Ginger and kale, honey, so, not cinnamon and clove.
So you know, at this point, I'm not going to be like, no, she rang me up already. I was just kind of like, well, do I tell Stephanie about this?
You did.
So we killed $16
in
whole pressed organic juices. Wesley sits down, opens it up, takes a sip, says, Dad, I don't like this.
Of course not, because that was like the Green Monster one.
He got like the Green Monster one, which guarantees perfect health for like a decade. I think it actually adds a decade onto your life. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God, I just blew $8 on a juice that this kid's not drinking.
Drank it.
Yeah, so I was like, Stephanie, this is really good. You need to try this juice. So anyway, that was a Brew.
Of course.
After, and it was a nice coffee shop, but it was that hipster, pretentious coffee shop.
Which you love.
I love because I float above it. I don't, you know, I don't feel intimidated by their hipster roasted coffee.
Oh, I don't either. I went up to her when we got in there. I said, well, I go, what are you brewing today? Like, you know, wink, wink, you're brew.
Well, she's like, do you want it from the Chemex, like, the French press, like, the Hoodoo Voodoo machine?
She looked at me like, what do you mean? And I'm like, what do you got? Like, you're going to have to lay it out for me because I'm a visitor.
She's like, do you want me to press this with my fingers and pinch each bean slowly and extract the juice from it using my fingernail? You know, it's like one of those places.
You know, they look at you and you're like, look.
The thing is, they look at you like, you don't know.
We know.
But then I'm like, no, I do know. I know exactly what a Chemex is, okay? Though I might not want one. I might just want a pour over, old pour over.
We did the Sumatra Chemex.
Yeah, and it was good. Headed over to Brilliant Books. Brilliant Books was the nicest independent bookstore I have been in a long, long time. I would really have to stretch my memory to remember the last time I went into such a great local bookstore.
Max rated it top notch. He said that it was his favorite traveling. He goes, this is my favorite traveling bookstore.
And it beat anything
really
in New England. Mm-hmm. And we've been to some incredible independent bookstores in New England. I mean, the customer service was great. The recommendations were great. We dropped, I'm going to say it, and you're not going
to
like
it. I have no idea. See,
oh my
I don't
God,
pay
you don't know how
this.
Much we spent. Okay, I retract. I'm not going to say how much we spent at Brilliant Books. I thought Stephanie knew already.
I have no idea.
In fact, I remember that I tried to check out when she was in the far corner of the store.
Yeah.
The boys got $4. I personally got 1, 2, 3 books. You got two books.
You got me one book. That doesn't count in my books. And then the lovely woman who was working there, who was so great at recommendations, she gave recommendations to the boys and got them all interested. And a couple, it was just that kind of a shop where you would just walk away with stacks of books. But you know what? They weren't trying to sell you. They were trying to help you read.
They loved their, you know, it was finely curated stock of books. Mm-hmm. I bought two magazines, two local magazines, one called Traverse, one called Blue, both excellent. And I found this great local author, Jerry Dennis. He's sort of like this manly, kind of but humorous, Hemingway-esque nonfiction writer. And I'm reading his book right now, From a Wooden Canoe. Absolutely love it. So after that, we were nice and hungry, and we headed to the filling station, right? Do you want to talk a bit about the filling station? Because we really did like it there.
Yeah, so Traverse City has had a wonderful sort of resurgence of craft beer brewing in the area, and there's a whole actual a tour you can do. So you can go on the trail, like this craft brewery trail, right? There's like a bike tour where like people there's bus tours.
I think somebody will ride you around on a multi-person bike too, because you might not want to take your own bike on the bike tour.
Well, but you can.
You
can do the buses, and there's just a bunch of different ways for you to experience all these different breweries. But one of them is really nice. So the filling station is a little bit far away from...
Right next to the library.
Yeah.
And right next to a Totes Adorbs children's garden across the train tracks.
Yeah, it's in a nice little area, but it's a good, like, I would say 7/10 of a mile away from East Front Street, which is sort of where a lot of those main shops are and everything. So out there, though, it runs along an old railway line. So the seating is actually out there along the railway line. You go in, you put your order in for pizzas. There's like a million different kinds of pizzas you can get. The beer is phenomenal. You can get flights. You just pick out your different like rail one, rail two, rail three, whatever you want on your six beer flight. We all got pizzas. You sit outside right along that railway, and it's just a great family-friendly brewery. This is the kind of place where kids are everywhere. They have sandboxes next to the
And where moms can order a flight of beer.
Yeah, that's what it is. Salads. It's just...
How was your flight of beer?
It was great. Like, they just have everything. That's the thing I like about the filling station.
The pizzas were delicious.
Mm-hmm. But the beers, they really have a range, and that's why I like it. They run everything from sort of like the light and hoppy and fruity to the dark stouts and like done in those whiskey barrels and everything. So really the entire range, and I usually do a flight that kind of, you know, visits that whole range of beer because I kind of like it, a little bit of everything. So
while we were finishing up our meal, the boys went over and played in the children's garden. Stephanie went over to the Traverse City Library, which is like basically right on a lake and is gorgeous, and she grabbed some free Wi-Fi to get some podcast stuff uploaded.
Wi-Fi.
And we actually went back to that library and spent some time there. It was so nice.
Beautiful library.
And now, what would you do next on a day like this? Well, we went to another coffee shop because I heard that Higher Grounds was awesome. So we drove out to Higher Grounds, which is, again, not right downtown. They actually provide the beans for brew. Higher Grounds was out near what used to be an old hospital, but has been an institution even. Sanitarium kind of situation?
It was.
And that's all been revitalized, mm-hmm. turned into apartments, art space, and then Higher Grounds is out there. It was a delightful coffee shop, nice outdoor seating. I ordered a bag of Peru, a bag of the Sumatra we had earlier that day, and a bag of their Coast blend, which I have in front of me, and Stephanie's so annoyed that I have back here because
like
it's noisy. So I got the Coast blend. It's a smooth, sweet blend with notes of milk chocolate, brown sugar, and white peach.
All right.
Love it.
So, yeah. So this smooth blend, what did you do? You came back out to the car with two mugs.
They don't have to-go cups. They give you donated mugs, which just drove Stephanie to distraction that I handed her her iced coffee and some person's funky old mug. But I thought it was kind of charming. It was one of those hipster charming things like, no, we don't use to-go cups because that's not earth-friendly. We have people donate crusty old mugs from their Aunt Edna's house.
Okay. In theory, it's a great idea. And I'm very earth-friendly.
But then you can't put them in the cup holders in your car. So in practice, it was not a great
idea.
It's
not just that inconvenient. All of a sudden, I realized I'm bringing two mugs back to the camper. So like
they're probably from the sanitarium across the way.
Like their attempt to save the universe. Like now I have things in my camper I don't have room for.
Look, this coffee shop was awesome. I mean, if you're a coffee fan and you end up in Traverse City, you got to go to Higher Grounds. So the next day we had a almost debacle because it was sort of this on and off rainy day. And we really wanted to go up to the Grand Traverse Bay and rent SUPs. And we've been wanting to do that forever. We're really wanting to add it to our repertoire as an outdoor family. And so we went up there, we found parking, and the rental place is called The River, Traverse City. So we walked up, we checked the prices were totally fine. The plan was to rent two SUPs, use our own kayak, and then just kind of all take turns with Wes. But then the rain came. And it was just like, do we go? Do we not go? We're taking shelter. So but then basically it started raining enough that we left. And we went to the Great Lakes Children Museum, which is right up the road, like 2 miles up the road, just to kill some rainy daytime. And the boys walked in and they were kind of like, eh. But then once they settled in, they really did have fun. So I would hold that in your back pocket for a rainy day in Traverse City. The Great Lakes Children Museum wasn't huge, wasn't amazing, but totally fine, totally acceptable. Would have been better for Wesley, but he was asleep in the truck.
He was. So 2 hours worth of, you know, time killing.
And the boys didn't want to leave. So to be fair, they did not want to leave at the end when I said, hey, the sun's out, let's go. So we headed back to Grand Traverse Bay, found parking again, paid for parking, rented the two SUPs, and Stephanie and Theo took off. And you kind of take off just a wee little bit out into the bay, past mm-hmm. this like swimming area. It's almost like they have a little track that you follow, and then you head out into the bay. You're not far out into the bay at all, and the water's clean and warm and lovely. And Stephanie and Theo, neither of you had ever SUP'd before. You both did an amazing job, and I was not surprised that you did, because you're athletic that way. But 7-year-old Theo rocked the SUP. He was awesome.
But I said, do you know why you're good at this?
Gymnastics.
He asked to start gymnastics last year, and I put him in gymnastics because the kid's got, he's got it.
Now, I dragged the kayak along the beach with Wesley sitting in it, the young prince, carrying him on his soft pillows. And Max came with me and helped me carry the towels. And we walked past the swimming area. And then Theo and Mom met us down there with the SUPs. And then we all proceeded to take turns with them. My balance is not as good as yours. I wanted a much larger SUP. Though I did get up and I was having fun. It was also, look, you're on a bay. It's a little choppy. Now, if I had been in really smooth water on a larger SUP, I would have rocked that thing. But I did fall a few times, much to the amusement of my children.
Yeah, it was funny because it was like, it was just the two people that are like the most gymnastic-y in the family.
You guys,
we were on it first.
Were awesome.
So then like we were just like, oh, look at this. It's so easy. And then like
Max and I had trouble. Yeah.
And it was like,
Max and I had different reactions. Max was, well, I don't like this.
Yeah.
I mean, he saw Theo rocking it and he's like, well, I don't like it. You know, it's like that kid thing where it's like, if your brother's good at something, you're not, all of a sudden you just don't like it.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is awesome. I just need some practice.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a
blast. Great time, and we're gonna get SUPs. Oh my gosh, we are. And they're gonna go in the toy hauler that we get at some point. So lunch at Don's Drive-Thru, which is recommended in Jane and Michael Stern's Road Food. It is an actual drive-thru. It's right on the bay there, right on Grand Traverse Bay, I believe. And I would say the burgers and fries were solid, not amazing. The cherry milkshake, what Michigan cherries?
Yeah, we had the chocolate
covered Michigan cherries. That milkshake was transcendent and worth the trip to Don's.
Delish. delish. It was a really great environment too. It had all of the trappings of, you know, like the
Marilyn Monroe and Elvis
red vinyl.
The jukebox. We were plunking in quarters playing some old songs from the jukebox.
The boys are really into jukeboxes right now.
So is dad.
You know, so that was a lot of fun. It was a fun place to eat with kids.
Now, we went back to the campground, spent a ton of time at the campground. You fast forward 4 hours, time for ice cream.
Oh, Moomers.
At Moomers. And you're saying you had a milkshake and ice cream on the same day? Yeah, I think we did.
I think so.
It's summer vacation. That's okay. Moomers, as I mentioned in the first part of the show, because they sell Moomers in the camp store in like little Ben and Jerry type pints, voted best ice cream in America by USA Today. And by, I think, Good Morning America, we all agreed it was the best ice cream we have ever had. You go out to their store, which is on their dairy farm, and
right,
the cows are in the background.
No, right. That's the important part to understand here, is that this is a dairy farm, and they built the ice cream store, and they make the ice cream there from the milk that is, you know, from the dairy farm. And here's the thing about the ice cream, and I'm not here. This is the only time in this like show you're going to hear me like, you know, getting all philosophical about ice cream, because I'm actually not a huge fan. The other four people in my family love ice cream way more than I do. They take the flavors that they're incorporating into the ice cream and they put it all through the ice cream, so that anything that is the flavor is like, it's transcendent. It's not like this isolated patch. You know when you order
cookie dough
ice cream, right? And you have to like go through all this like kind of stale vanilla ice cream, and you're just like hoping.
You're searching for balls of cookie dough.
You just want the ball of cookie dough in there. Like, the thing about this ice cream is that the entire ice cream is a symphony.
A symphony. You nailed it. I got cherry moobly, which was, I have never had better ice cream in my life. And I think that's the one that won them the USA Today
thing.
Well,
I had cherry cheesecake, and it was just like, in cheesecake ones I've had in the past, like you get like the cheesecake bite, and then the rest of the time.
Symphony, you go.
Like, the entire time
blended
I was eating
every bite,
my cherry cheesecake, it was like every bite was cherry cheesecake.
It was almost like there was more stuff than there was ice cream.
No, but it wasn't stuff and ice cream.
It was the perfect symphony. No, it was a symphony,
right.
I think.
It's not like separate components. It all worked together. That was the point. And honestly, it was the best ice cream that we've ever had. The boys said that Moomers
Theo, to
changed.
Quote Theo, Moomers changed my life.
Moomers changed my life.
And then they said if they didn't get to go back, they were going to be morbidly depressed and miserable. We didn't go back. We just got it at the camp store again. And that's the great thing about Holiday Park Campground.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward to our last full day there. We headed out onto Old Mission Peninsula, which is basically like a finger that juts up and splits Grand Traverse Bay in half, right?
Right. So you have the east side of Grand Traverse Bay and you have the west side. We had been on the west side where the downtown Traverse City area is and everything. And we wanted to go out on this peninsula. You go all the way up to the tip of this peninsula and you hit this lighthouse.
Yeah, the Mission Point Lighthouse. Now, we went out thinking we're going to check out the lighthouse, we're going to climb the lighthouse, we're going to learn, we're going to get some history. We drove out. It was beautiful. You're getting views of both sides of Grand Traverse Bay. There's wineries along the way. It's just really, really gorgeous out there. We get out to the lighthouse, and look, I'm not one to make fun of the lighthouse, but it was a small lighthouse. We paid $10 total for our family to climb to the top, and it was cool. It was interesting. It was historical. But the thing that was amazing was the swimming right out in front of the lighthouse. It had to be one of the most beautiful places to go for a swim in America. I mean, we saw that and we were like, we got to go swimming. We didn't have bathing suits. Maybe we had a towel. I don't know.
We had a towel.
We had an old, yucky...
No, we had a
towel. The dog towel? The towel we used to clean the dog?
No, the towel that I used because you spilled coffee on me earlier that day. I'm just saying.
I spilled coffee on Stephanie.
I happened to have a towel.
Yeah, that happened. So look, we all just went in.
You brought it
we
up. All,
I went in my cargo shorts. And yes, I wear cargo shorts, America, and every day. And we just swam for hours and explored the beach. And the boys were jumping off rocks in the water. It was literally a perfect place to bring beach chairs, some towels, a picnic lunch, and spend the day just enjoying the water out there. It was really almost perfect, almost heaven.
Yeah, the boys had a fantastic time. We really spent a lot of time out there, and they were fine, even though they didn't have bathing suits, because we make it work. So,
and I kept thinking, hashtag pure Michigan.
That was no, it.
Really.
Right?
I mean, like, I really like, this is what they're talking about. You know, these the warm waters of the bay and of Lake Michigan and that crystal clear blue water. And I used to think that Michigan was just a big block of ice. And I just apologize, Michigan, that I ever thought that about you, because you are beautiful.
Yeah. And so we were nice and hungry. And on the way back, the Jolly Pumpkin Brewery is also located out on the peninsula. So we went there for lunch. And they have great beers. And their beers are generally along the lines of like the fruitier, brighter variety than a lot of the other breweries that are there in that area. And I knew that, and I appreciated that, and I ordered some of their specialties and everything.
You got a nice wedge salad. We got pork belly sliders. I got a delicious BLT. It was very warm and cozy in there. It was a really nice place to have like that kind of recharge meal.
Oh yeah,
after I said all to the that boys, swimming.
Oh, we're going to get lunch, and Max said, is it somewhere with meat? That's pretty much what our kids
sorry,
are like.
All the vegetarians that listen to RVFTA.
Our boys
the last thing I want to say about Traverse City is something that we did not experience, but that I read about in multiple different places. Apparently, this is one of the best cities in America for biking. I mean, the network of trails in and around Traverse City is incredible, and I really look forward to coming back and getting out on our bikes. But we couldn't pull it off this time.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, we'll get there. We really enjoyed the water. That's what we did. We were in our kayak. We were fishing. We were SUPing. We were swimming. That's what we did when we were in this area. And I think that there's nothing better to do in August along the lake in Michigan. So
now, Michigan's an interesting state. Does Progressive have anything
to say
about Michigan?
Yeah, they have 50 Progressive Adventures, right? And these are unique attractions that need to be seen but are off the beaten track. And when you're taking your RV through Michigan, you've got to see Silver Lake Sand Dunes near Hart, Michigan, off of Lake Michigan. In addition to 2,000 acres of sand dunes for play, they're the only dunes east of the Mississippi where you're allowed to cruise the dunes in a privatized motorized vehicle. Adventure awaits with Progressive.
And a big thanks to our other sponsor for Campground of the Week, to Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, head on over to jayco.com. And we were super lucky to do a tour of the Jayco factory in Middlebury, Indiana last week. We're going to cover that on the episode of RV Family Travel Atlas this week. We really enjoyed watching their luxury fifth wheels being built. So head over to jayco.com and you can check out all of their 2017 models. They're all out right now. I think just about every single one.
And after you've done that and you've snapped up that new 2017 RV, we will see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.